Okay. Good morning, everyone. Ooh, I like that. most of you guys know me, but if not, my name is Julia. I'm a member here at Restored. And I'm just going to be sharing a little bit with us this morning, and then we're going to kind of have a participatory morning after that. So, last week, if you were here, and if you weren't, we'll kind of review. Andy taught a message from John 2, where Jesus cleansed the temple. And a lot of what he talked about was kind of like getting back to basics. And he talked about the religious leaders at the temple in Israel back in Jesus' day and how they got away from what worship was all about. They stopped sacrificially serving Yahweh. They stopped revealing who he was to the nations around them as they were compromised by idolatry and injustice. They had a flagrant disregard for the temple, and they stopped being a house of prayer. And Andy mentioned that as much as we want to judge them, to separate ourselves from them, it's important to remember that it's really easy to get away from the purpose of something. And as a church today, we have much of the same calling as the people of God from the Old Testament. As a church, we reveal what he is worth by how we live and how we sacrifice. We reveal who he is to those around us, and we don't do it through obeying the law like the people of the Old Testament, but we proclaim and demonstrate the gospel with our words and actions. And we, as the church, are called the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is a space for people to encounter God as we love one another and use our spiritual gifts. And like ancient Israel, it's easy to drift. We can become people who make the church and worship about us instead of about the worthiness of Jesus. Even serving and quote-unquote sacrificing can actually be about meeting our emotional needs for attention or fulfillment instead of worship of our King. We can relegate Scripture and the revelation of Scripture behind other authorities and influencers who, if some of us are really honest, have more influence on how we live day to day than Scripture does. We can stop caring about those outside of our church and them meeting Jesus and becoming part of the family of God, and we can make church about our preferences as insiders. And we too can have a blatant disregard for God's temple, which in the New Testament is his church, and devolve into slander or gossip, division, rivalry. And we can stop being a praying church. And Andy mentioned last week that before we can love people well, before we can powerfully share the gospel, before we can surrender ourselves to Jesus' teaching in Scripture, we need to spend time with him. We need to reconnect to our first love and get back with him, and he will sort out the rest. He will soften our hearts towards others. He will break our hearts for what breaks his heart, and he will give us a radical desire to obey him. So this morning, we are beginning a season of prayer and a teaching series on prayer. And as part of that, like Allison mentioned during the announcements, we are going to have a summer school class on prayer. It's called How to Pray, starting in July. And we really would love it if everyone who calls themselves a member of this church signed up for it. We want to pay attention to the things that we're devoted to, and we want to be devoted to prayer. So I know summer is kind of crazy. You guys might be in and out of town or busy or whatever, but really try to make that a priority, even if you can only come a few times, that we would be as a church what we say we're about, praying. And this morning as well, we're not just going to talk about prayer. We're actually going to spend time in prayer. But before we do that, I'm going to walk us through the framework for how we're going to do that for this prayer gathering. And it's from Jesus himself. In Luke 11:1, after watching Jesus pray, one of the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." How to pray? like the book. Not teach us to preach or teach us to cast out demons, but teach us to pray. They saw that prayer was the source of Jesus' power and also intimacy with his Father. And Jesus responded by giving them a model, a method, that we now call the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew 6. And this isn't just something to recite. It's a framework for how to pray, both to the people he was literally speaking to and for us. So if you have Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 6. If not, turn your attention to a screen. And we will start in verse 9. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today I'm going to walk us through this prayer using a simple tool from Strategic Renewal called the 4 R's. This might be familiar to some of you from a few years ago. We had a prayer training. And the first R is reverence. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Jesus starts with prayer, with worship. Jesus starts with worship. We approach God not as a distant force, but as our Father. Loving, personal, safe. And yet, he is also in heaven, majestic, powerful, and holy. This first line centers us. God is both intimate and transcendent. When we start with reverence, our worries shrink, our worship grows, and our prayer becomes relational, not mechanical. Because we're starting with who he is. We start with God's character. What he's done. We start with worship of him, not what we want or what we need to do. In other words, we start by remembering who we are praying to. We're praying to the sovereign king of the universe, who Jesus also invites us to intimately call Dad. If we believe that he loves us deeply, we can boldly come to his throne when we are in need of grace, when we are in need of help. The next R is response. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the moment of surrender. We're saying, God, rule in me, lead me, let your will be done in my life, my family, my work, my city. Prayer is not about God, it's not about getting God to do our will, it's about aligning ourselves with his will. And this makes this a dangerous prayer. It means you're saying, not my plans, not my will, not my kingdom, but yours, Lord. And that means we must be willing to repent and obey. Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any offensive way in me." This is the moment in prayer where we let the Holy Spirit search us. Where am I holding on to control? What sin do I need to confess? What invitation from God may I have been ignoring? This morning we'll move from revering God to responding with open hands, in silence, in confession, in short surrender prayers like, "Forgive me, I give you my anger, I lay down my fear." This is a holy moment where worship turns into obedience, which leads to our next R. Requests. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Here we ask. Jesus encourages us to bring our needs, both physical and relational, to our Father. We pray for provision, for food, for strength, for wisdom for each day. And we also pray for reconciliation, to forgive and to be forgiven. This is where prayer becomes real and raw. We talk to God about what's truly weighing on us. The word grace literally means help from outside of us. And let me tell you, that can be a really hard thing, if you're like me especially, because I don't like to ask for help. But this is what we are commanded to do, because the reality is that you and I are needy. We need help, and we need it a lot. And the Father, as Jesus reveals, really loves to help his children. And lastly, our fourth R is readiness. Do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Finally, we prepare. We ask God for spiritual awareness and strength as we enter our day. We recognize there's a real enemy and real temptation, but also a real helper. We can ask, where might I be tempted today? Where will I need your courage, Lord? How can I live out your will today? Prayer ends not in escape, but in readiness to walk with God through whatever lies ahead. So this is what our morning is going to be about, because this is what we want to be as a church, as the temple. Prayer is not just a duty, it's a way of life. It's how we walk with our Father, align with his will, bring our needs, and prepare for what's ahead. And today we don't just want to think about prayer or hear this teaching on prayer, but we're going to practice praying. We're going to use the four R's that I just went through: revere, respond, request, and readiness. But we're actually going to start with a fifth R, and that's the R of rest. So we want to begin with rest, not rush. Before we say any prayers, before we say anything to God, we want to remember who we're speaking to. Jesus starts the Lord's Prayer by saying, "Our Father." That's intimate. Like Jackie says, you don't need a phone. He's not a cold boss or a distant deity. He's your Father, but he's also in heaven. That's majestic. He rules over everything. So before anything else, we want to pause, breathe, and let our souls settle, remembering where we are, allowing ourselves to get present to the one we're going to pray to. So right now, slow down. We're going to take some deep breaths. I want to encourage you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. Feel your feet on the ground, your back in your chair. It can be helpful to open your palms and face them up in a posture of receiving. Take another nice big inhale. Release it with a long, slow exhale. And take a few more deep, full breaths in your own way, at your own pace. Allow yourself to rest in the rhythm of your own breathing. Your body knows what to do. I encourage you now to tell the Father that you're here and open to what he wants to do in you. You could pray something like, "Father, I'm here for you. Thank you for being here with me. Help me attune to your presence." We're going to have another moment of silence as you guys talk to God. As we move into the rest of our prayer movements, Mar, if you can come up, she's gonna pad set the tone a little bit, and then Ruth will help us into our next one.
Thanks, Julia. Our next R is reverence. After resting in God's love, we move into worship. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be your name." That means let your name be honored as holy. Worship isn't a warm-up, it's the foundation. When we adore God for who he is, holy, gracious, just, wise, we realign our hearts. We stop obsessing over ourselves and lift our eyes to the one who holds all things. So these are some of the prayer prompts. If you're willing and able to stand in groups of three or four, where you are, for this portion as an act of reverence, we want to pray short and clear prayers. One to two sentences out loud so that we can each pray multiple times. You can start with, like, "Father, thank you that you are." "Holy Spirit, thank you that you are." Or "Jesus, thank you for." The purpose is here to worship our God and thank him. I think Mark can pad in the background. And then if we want to get into groups of three or four, we can pray based off of these prompts.
So next up, we'll be moving into our response time. This is the verse that includes, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." True worship leads to response. We surrender. Jesus teaches us to say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's a costly prayer, It means saying yes to God's agenda over our own. It means laying down our preferences, plans, and pride. So, as we pray, ask God, where do I need to surrender? Father, help me surrender my. Jesus, help me be open to. And Holy Spirit, help me empower our church to. So go ahead and get into your groups and pray through those prompts.
You just want to wrap up your final thoughts and prayers. I think most of you probably didn't think you were going to come to our church gathering today and have to do this. But I just want to say you're doing a great job. And we're halfway through. So let's keep going. Next are our requests. They're definitely not first. That's not the first thing we went to, but they are a part of this. They're not forgotten. Jesus teaches us to ask boldly, "Give us today our daily bread." That's provision. Provision is a fancy word for the things that we need. What does God supply to us? Then he teaches us to ask, "Forgive us our debts." That's pardon, a clearing of our accounts. Then he asks us to pray, "Lead us, deliver us," and that's protection. God's not annoyed by your needs. He's a father who invites them. And notice that Jesus doesn't teach us to pray for my bread, but our bread. These aren't selfish prayers, they're shared prayers. We pray together for one another. So, let's bring our requests. We'll take another few minutes. Our prompts are, "Father, would you please give me the wisdom I need to? Father, please provide our church with what it needs to be able to. Jesus, please forgive me for. Father, help me with." We'll take another few minutes and pray those now. Thank you.
up your last thoughts. So finally, we end in readiness. Jesus closes the prayer with a battle cry. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That reminds us we are in a spiritual war. Prayer isn't just rest and reverence, it's preparation. When we rise from prayer, we're stepping into a world of distraction, deception, and spiritual attack. But when we've met with the Father, we're not afraid. We walk out ready. I have some prayer prompts for you guys to use as you pray. Holy Spirit, please empower our church too. Holy Spirit, please draw name here to Jesus. Holy Spirit, please give me the courage to. And we'll take a few minutes to reflect on these prompts.
if you're still praying, you can feel free to keep praying. We're going to transition as a church into musical worship. But as we're encouraging growing as a church in prayer being a normal and natural part of our service and our daily life, again, like if you want to pull somebody to pray with, pray for, encourage you to, yeah, stay attuned to the Spirit and, you know, be praying internally. But as a church, we're going to corporately worship God for who he is, actively practicing that reverence and praise. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes. The whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing. The people sing. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hey, can I take a quick seat again? Hope you've been enjoying all this getting up and down and praying with one another. We were saying it keeps you awake, you know. So in a second, we're going to take communion. But before we do, I just want to briefly explain that we've been praying, we've been talking to God. We also believe in our church that God speaks to us. If we just give him a moment of silence and listen to him, we believe that he gives us words of prophecy to say to us personally, maybe to each other, and sometimes to the whole church. And our sister Abigail felt like God had a word for the church that she's going to share with us.
He said, summarize in 1 minute. So I kind of have this sense of, and I don't know just me or corporately, but just how much like God loves us, obviously, but just how he wants us to like sit in his presence and like actually receive his delight and his joy and his love for us. Like if we turn to his face, and what do we think it looks like? He's just like excited that we're there. We're his kids, we're made in his image. And I had this picture of walking like a hike, and Jesus is walking by like wildflowers. He's the sun, he's bright. And if you know like California poppies and different flowers, like they won't open unless the sun is out. And I felt like God was like, let me show you something. And he was walking by this like field of flowers, and they just like opened, and just like how beautiful these flowers became when they opened, just like being in his presence. And yeah, I just even thinking through like how we pray, like the invitation starts, like our prayer starts with like revering him, and we can't revere something that we don't know. But a big piece of that is like sitting and receiving like the love and the joy and the delight that he has in us, to like be able to worship him and for other people to like see and experience his love through us. So that was it. Did I summarize it? God, I thank you so much that, you love us before we do anything. You love us in our like really messy times, that you're always with us, that you delight in us before we do anything for you. You love us and you made us in your image, God. And I pray that we as a church would have tangible experiences of your love and delight in us as your children, that those experiences would propel us to love you, but also so that others would experience the love, the joy and the delight that you have in them as well. And so, yeah, I pray, God, that that would change us. You are the one who does that. So, amen.
Amen. So, in a minute, we're going to come up and grab the Lord's Supper and then take it all together in our seats. But before we do, I just want to remind you guys that the Lord's Prayer is not just a guide for talking to God, but it's also a guide for a roadmap for walking with Him. Give us this day our daily bread. When Jesus prayed that, He taught us to ask the Father for what we need. And here at this table, we remember that Jesus gave us more than bread for the body. He gave us His body as bread for our souls as well. When Jesus prayed, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors, in communion, we're reminded of the price of forgiveness, the body broken and the blood poured out. So, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have received that mercy, then this table is for you. If you're still exploring faith, we invite you to simply observe, reflect, and receive God's love without pressure. And finally, when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we echo the hope this table proclaims that Christ will come again, and we feast with Him face to face. So when you're ready, we invite you to come to the tables, take a piece of bread and dip it in the wine or juice, and return to your seat. Once we've all been served, then we'll pray together. So go ahead and come grab it now. Father, we're grateful that by giving your body and your blood on the cross, you made a way for us to get to pray to you, to get to know you, to get to be your children, that you have filled us with joy in your presence. I pray that you would feel honored and glorified as we take communion this morning. Amen. We'll go ahead and take the bread and the juice. Julian, come up and close us out. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for participating today. I know that there's probably different levels of comfort with engaging in a gathering in this way, but this is what we want to be about as a church, as a community, as the temple of God. So I hope that, God stirred some stuff in you this morning, and I really hope that as we leave today into this week, maybe that, the Spirit would bring to mind some of those movements that we went through, a particular one for you to focus on, or just a reminder that, we are in His presence all the time and have access to Him all the time. And we went through the Lord's Prayer this morning in Matthew 6, and I want to jump back to Numbers 6, as Jesus taught us to pray. In the New Testament, in Numbers 6, God tells Moses and Aaron how they are to bless others. So, Numbers 6:22, the Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You should say to them, 'May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace.'" So we love you all. Hope you have a good week. See you next week.